sometimes you're sure looking, you're looking ready to see it, you know, the beauty of the, what you're going through. Because, you know, I think about my sister Janie, you know, during this time, and the, you know, all the family there with Brother Jim. And I love Brother Jim. You know, he is a good brother. I can see his big smile he'd always have every time I see him. And that's one thing I missed, probably the only thing I missed about working at Jensen's at Pecola. He'd come by and visit me quite often, and we'd sit there and just chew the fat, so to speak, and just and talk about the Lord, and, you know, just good fellowship. And I missed that. So this time I love Brother Jim. I want to speak to you on a thought tonight on redeem the time. Redeem the time. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 15 through 17. I had another thought. A couple of thoughts I have been building just over time. You're always working on stuff and just building. And this thought I just couldn't get away from. It's completely different than what I'd been studying. And I'm just going to kind of go with what the Lord put on my heart tonight. You know, that's the thing about it. You can have something you're preparing. You're like, I'm going to preach this next time I preach. And then the next time I come, like, no, I'm not. that's different, you know. So pray the Lord will get glory for what's been spoken tonight, and you'll be edified. Scriptures 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you, Lord, to step into this shoe leather. Lord, that you would put my body under subjection to your spirit and your word. Lord, touch each heart tonight. Lord, everyone that is listening, Lord, may they be able to receive something that will edify them in their walk with you, Lord, to see their walk a little clearer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Count it again. It's a privilege to be among you. We're talking about redeeming the time. And man has constantly been increasing in knowledge over time. And man can build buildings. They can build bridges. They can build big structures. They can build businesses that are absolutely just phenomenal as far as success goes. The list goes on how successful man can be at doing things. But it's a completely different deal, because man, even though man's building all these things, what it is they build off of one another's experiences. They build off of one another's experiences of what they've learned, their mistakes, and things like that. Yeah, with all the wisdom that they have to build the buildings, build the constructions, do all the big houses, all the great things, less than a quarter, I would say, know what the will of the Lord is in their life. Yeah. And if we were to put that even in the churches, the same thing is, it would be so few that can confidently say, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hand, but to raise their hand and say, I know the perfect will of the Lord is for my life. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one thing that a person that is, that they, in their life, that can give you a feeling of confidence, is to know you're in the perfect will of the Lord. Or know that you're in the will of the Lord. Now, Brother Graham talked about there's a permissive will, there's a perfect will. And, you know, being a permissive will, it'll eventually get you the perfect will. With all the wisdom, I'd say, with to do all these things that they've built, I talked to millionaires. I dealt with millionaires. Men that are absolutely successful, that could go out and buy something, whatever they want. You know, when they go to any store, or go to any lot, or go to any neighborhood, they don't sweat it. I could buy it if I want it. But most of them are not happy. Right. You know, most of them are not married. And most of them have been married 4 and 5 times. Right. You know, they're millionaires. If you look at the point of view of seeing that is successful, and that's where, especially our young people, always remember that most of the rich people you see, they're not happy inside their hearts, you know, because real happiness, and we know this, is in the Lord. You know, it's having the Lord in your heart, having the walking in the perfect will of the Lord. That gives you a satisfaction that nothing can take away. Because if the economy breaks, that doesn't change. You're still in the will of the Lord. You know, if you're walking if you're walking with Him. And today, a lot of the psychologists they'll have psychologists for marriages, psychologists for people that's gone through a crisis in their life, psychologists to help people with a child that's not acting the way they should. And if you take the psychologist and look at them, they're not happy.
That's right.
And most of them are on supplements to try to make them beat. And think about how insane this is. This is a person that's not happy, but they're going to teach you how to be happy.
Yeah.
This is a person that's got that doesn't have victory in their life, but they're going to try to teach you how to have victory in your life. And you know, that's why Brother Tony did an analogy one time, and it just made such perfect sense to me. He said, "Have you ever tried to push somebody with a rope? It don't work too good.
Right.
But you know what? You can absolutely pull somebody." And that's where, in redeeming the time, that's where we want to always have a hope in ourselves of the grace of God that's in us. That way we can always be prepared to pull somebody to something that we have that's of substance.
Yes.
Right.
Because you know what? There's in this life, when you're fixing to pass away or someone dies, you think about the accomplishments that they have in their life. And I've lost several friends here recently. And I had a friend here that I work with that passed away not too long ago. And I remember as I was sitting in there, I began to reflect within myself what would be the accomplishments that they would say about me if this was me that passed away today. What would be the things that they'd said that were success? Because a house, who cares? Cars, who cares? This, who cares? But my children, you know, my wife, my friends, you know, the people that in my community, in my neighborhood, it's the life that I lived while I was here with them. That's the thing that's going to be of substance. They're not going to care about how many dogs you have, how many of this you have, or whatever it may be, brother and sister. And that's what I really wanted to, not an exciting sermon to show, but let's just really slow down and think about to redeem the time of our life, to live a life of impact, where our life is a life of substance. Amen. A life of somebody, when somebody sees you. Brother Tony and I were fellowshipping just a little bit, and for many years, a family that just sticks out to me. And I think, you know, a lot of times you wait for someone to pass away to put flowers on them. And I think we should do that while they're alive, you know. And one of the most tremendous families is the Hearst family. They have got such a solid testimony of what you see is what you get. Just a lovely, wonderful group of people. And it's the life of substance that they have.
Right.
And you know, and brother and sister, they're an older. I believe the younger should look to the elder as an example. Our sister Pansy, a life of substance.
Right.
You say, hey, man, she's a sister that's just as rugged. I remember when she'd be trying to carry a crock pot in the rain several years ago, and I would run out there to grab that crock pot. She said, "Brother Daniel, get back in that church. You're going to get a cold." She would not let me carry that crock pot. She would carry that crock pot herself and make me go inside there. And I felt about this tall. You know, here I was. Mid-20-year-old boy, you know, I got this, I'm not going to say how old, but older lady, you know, that was carrying this crock pot in the cold. But a life of substance. Our sister Mary, our sister Elisa, our brother Tony. You know, a life of substance. Our sister Shirley. A life of substance. You know, I want, Lord, may it be that my life, that I can redeem the time. When I talk to young people that are just a newborn baby, I tell them, that just comes to me every time. I say, I'll give you a little bit of advice. Push them on the swing one more time. Mm-hmm. Take them down and push them down the slide one more time. Yeah. Because you know what? Later on, you'll be thinking, my goodness, I wish I had done it one more time. Mm-hmm. But let us redeem the time that we have.
Amen.
Man would have thought that was a hand of the Lord protecting Moses. You know, during Moses' time of, if you look at the insanity of man and how things are, Moses, if you were to look at him and how things play out, whenever he was in the, you know, put into the basket and he was going down the river and he was protected from the alligators and he was put in the right hand of Pharaoh. If we were looking at that, we could say, this is God. God protects the man, lets him go down the flood. God protects him, puts him right in the hand of Pharaoh. God is in that. He's going to have him get the best schooling, the best teaching, the best of everything he can have. And then God's going to deliver his people. And that's how God's going to do it. And our intellects, that's how he would do it.
Yeah.
But God did it absolutely contrary. He didn't use Moses at his best. He used Moses at his weakest. You know, we look at our own life, a life of impact. I mean, we're going to do something for the Lord. So a lot of times we think God's going to do it at my best. That's when God's going to do a great work in my life. But a lot of times it's at your absolute weakest. Right. When you feel like you're falling flat on your face. And we know the story of how Moses tried to deliver him in his own strength. And he failed utterly. Took 40 years of learning how I am going to do a life of impact. I am going to deliver the children of Israel. And failed miserably. But what happened was God took him back and beat all that out of him. And he learned more in 5 minutes in the presence of God than he did in all of those 40 years. And what it was God that makes the life of impact. I guess is the point I'm trying to say. And it's good, brother, sister, that's what it will take to have us to redeem the time. It will take us to surrender and say, Lord, I want you, I need you to help me to live a life of impact. Mm-hmm. That I can impact my neighbors. Mm-hmm. That I can impact the person at the store. We must have that pillar of fire experience ourselves. And our life of living a life of impact, of redeeming the time, is to make our life a habitation of the Spirit. Our home, a habitation of the Spirit. So, slowing down, I want to ask to encourage one another. In our home, in our environment that we have, that we can concentrate on making it the habitation of the Spirit, where God can dwell in what I'm doing. Because a lot of times with life, it gets so busy. Right. It gets so hectic. Laundry gets piled up. Dishes get piled up. You got to do this. You got to go help do this. You got this at work. You got all these things at work. And you're so busy, busy, busy. Not trying to do anything wrong, but you're just so busy. Right. That your next thing you know, it's slipped away. You haven't even listened to a sermon that day. You haven't even read your Bible that day. You haven't even... But I just want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to slow down and take the time and say, Lord, this is my... Lord, you are most important in my life today. Because if the rapture happened tomorrow, nothing else matters. Say amen. Amen. It's natural for a man to have a desire to build upon experiences in his life and to have dreams. And we must have a vision. And without a vision, the people will perish. And if you're going on a trip, you've got to have a vision. You've got to have a plan. You've got to have something that keeps you. We need a guide. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And just going to do kind of like a little Bible study. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So on this one scripture, listening to your father, when you're listening to it, do it with the intent that I want to gain understanding from this. Right. A lot of times when you're talking to somebody, a lot of times they're listening to respond, how they can respond, rather than listening to what he's trying to tell you. And I say this as far even as the ministry. When the ministry is giving you a word, When you approach the service, approach it, attend to no understanding. Be proactive in it, that I am going to listen to this for understanding. Because it does make a difference. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go to the next scripture. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So remember, you're attaining to get understanding, okay? Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Now, hold on to the scripture. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Who is she? Understanding. Mm-hmm. Whenever you are listening to understand, whenever you are listening to the service, to the word, to the message, and when you are listening to it with the intent to understand, I want to know the truth of this. Mm-hmm. And it says when you do that, and when you love it, when you love the revelation, when you love the truth will keep you.
Amen.
That's why revelation is so important. Whenever we hear the word, let's listen to the word to understand. Listen to the word. Lord, I want revelation. I want truth. Because when we do that and when we love it, it will keep us. And remember, later on in the scriptures, it says, they that receive not the love of the truth shall be sent a lie that they would, a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, because they don't receive the love of the truth. We want to love this truth. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the next scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I like that. That's good. I kind of talk like I talk. With all that getting, you know, all them apples you're getting, get this especially. This is the good one. Whenever we're doing this, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Understanding, revelation will promote me? It sure will. Whenever you are listening to the truth, God, I want your truth, and you love that truth, you hold that truth, you cherish that truth will promote you. That truth will protect you. That truth will keep you. It's truth. It's word. It's this word. I love that when Brother Brown said, it's not me that keeps my religion. It's my religion that keeps me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Amen. So listen to understand. However, the most important thing in this life is to be in the perfect will of the Lord. That is our desire. That is our target. That is our life of impact. You want to live a life of impact? Embrace truth. If you want a life of impact, seek God. What is your will for my life? I want your will in my life, Lord. Let's go to Psalms 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In our life of impact, it must be the Lord doing what we're doing. Amen. It must be His will in what we're doing. Because if He don't, we're laboring in vain. He talks about you can have a watchman over a city, and that watchman can be watching as diligently as he can. But if it's not the will of the Lord for that to happen, he is watching in vain. If we're in our life, no matter what it is, if it's a business that we're doing, if it's doing your garden, if it's from the small things to the big things, it must be the will of the Lord. Because if it doesn't, we're working in vain. I don't want to waste my time working on stuff that's not going to prosper. I want a life of impact. I want a life of fruit. Say amen. In a life where you're building, you're gaining. I don't want to go back to doing something to a horse and buggy. I want to keep going up. I want to build from the experiences. And I want to listen that I may obtain. Listen that I could get understanding. Listen to this message of what is it. I want to go beyond God sent a prophet. And in our experience, what did the prophet say? Right. What was he sent for? What was the purpose? And that's in our individual walk. That's what we got to have. We got to listen to get understanding. Lord, what is this revelation? Because Scripture says, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Brother Tony mentioned that the other day. If you will draw, if you'll knock, it will be open to you. Right. Lord, I want to know what this truth is. What is this message? What is it? Why is it so important? I hear it talked about whenever you're doing that, you are standing and you are knocking. And if you knock, he will open to you. And he's not going to, if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone or a serpent, as silly as that would sound. You know, if my son says, Daddy, I'm hungry, I need some bread, I'm not going to give that boy, I want him to be fed. I want him to have the nourishment. And that's the way God is with us. Whenever you say, I want to know what this truth is. I want to know what this word is. What is truth? What is the revelation? What is it? Whenever you come with a pure heart, and when you go with the intent, I am coming to understand. I'm listening to this tape to understand. Whenever you put that tape on, when you open your Bible up, I am approaching it with the manner, Lord, what is the revelation of it? I want to be right. And when you do that, the Lord is not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. He wants to feed you. He wants you to do well. I want my children to be successful. I want Elijah and Rachel's marriage to be blessed. I want to be so happy, so joyful. I want to see my boy Malachi, my Hannah, my boy Dylan. I want to see them prosper. I want to see them conquer. So if they come to me and they're hungry and they say, Daddy, I want to know what truth is. I want some bread. I'm hungry, Daddy. I am not going to give them something to harm them. I want them to have it. Right. But they have to come with the intent. They have to come with the attitude. I want to know truth. Amen. Me and my boy Dylan sat around our table the other night and we talked about, dude, he had questions about different things, and it was just a wonderful time of fellowship. Amen. And Brother Tony's service went right down. And Brother Tony, what were you doing listening in our conversation? Because it wasn't Brother Tony. It was him. He was among us, and the Lord will do that to confirm with you that you were right on track. And that brother doesn't know nothing about what we were talking about. Is that true, brother?
Yes, sir.
Give me a loud amen, brother.
Amen.
There we go. Because that's the truth. Amen. Labor that we put The labor that we put our hand to must be the will of the Lord, or we are laboring in vain. If you do a budget with pencil and paper, and you put your finances, and you do a budget with your pencil and paper, a lot of times you're like, I ain't got no money. If you will do a budget with pencil and paper, it will be sickening to see how much money you waste.
That's right.
If I was to tell you waste thus money, you say, there's no way. I don't even make that much money. You put the pencil on paper, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm ashamed of myself. It's absolutely, because you've got to have a budget. You've got to have something to hold you accountable. Because if you don't, I love it. Look, as Dave Ramsey always says, without a budget, you will wonder where your money went. With a budget, you'll tell your money where to go. And that's a true statement. I love truth, well, no matter where it comes from.
That's right.
Because you know what? A budget, and we have to have a budget. And brothers and sisters, this is our budget, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We and the message of the hour. And that absolutely goes together. Our life must reckon with the budget of this book.
Amen.
There has to be an accounting, because the better steward you can be, the more the Lord can bless you. You know, your finances are not your finances. They're God's finances.
Right.
And if you will be a good steward over the finances God gave you, God can bless you with more. You'll get the handfuls of purpose.
That's right.
That comes forward. But you've got to be a good steward of it. Because if you're a bad steward, do you think he's going to trust you with more money? You know, he can't until you get a better steward. So the better steward you can be of your finances, the more God can bless your finances. Well, if God can do that in the natural with finances, look at the spiritual, in our time, in our walk with the Lord, in our prayer life. This is our budget. Without this, we will wonder where in the world our life is going at the end of our grave, where we come. But with this will tell us our life where to go. This will lead us. This is our budget. I'm telling you, in your finances, you must have a budget.
Right.
Is that true?
That's right.
And in the walk with the Lord, brothers and sisters, we must have a budget. Because if we don't, you can walk with the best of intentions in your finances, the best of intentions. I'm going to watch my spending. I'm going to do my best I can do. I'm just going to be smart. You can do that all you want to, and you'll never line up with your budget, because there's no accountability. It's the same thing with this. You want to have success in finances? Get a budget. You want a success in the Lord? Use the budget.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Brent called it a thank you man filter.
Amen.
You know, talk about the thank you man filter. How that they'll put a filter on that cigarette so nobody can smoke, so nobody will, it's supposed to be healthy, you know. But what it does, it makes it where you get just enough nicotine in it where you want more, and you actually smoke more cigarettes because you're wanting more nicotine. So it's actually a scam doing the filters, you know. It's a scam, you know. And we have a filter, and it is the Word. And everything that we have in our life, it must come through that filter of the Word of God. Amen. We must be good stewards over our life. We must be good stewards over our family. I look at my children, and I just, no matter how hard you try, you always wish you would have done better. You know, Elijah, I was probably the hardest on him out of all my kids. He was the guinea pig more than any of them, I think. All I can say is I tried. I did my best, you know, but I think they turned out pretty good, you know,
Amen.
And the Lord. And I love my kids. I love them. And I want to be a good steward over my family. And as we get older, the more mature, we should get better. We should get better at it. And that's what I want to do. I want to do better. Amen. Let's go to James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, as such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our life is but a vapor. And when we look, think about how quick life goes. I had a boy get married the other day. I look in the mirror, and believe it or not, I've got white hairs that come out. the sides of my head. My lady that used to cut my hair, she said, oh, Daniel, you've got no black hair, or you've got no gray hairs. You'd have no worries. But she'd been cutting my hair for almost 10 years. And the other day, she was cutting my hair. She said, Daniel. I said, what's that? She said, you're getting gray hair. I said, you say you're thinking about retiring? She said, it's happening, Daniel. You're getting gray hair. When you think about how fast time goes by, there are certain moments of my life when I remember it like it was yesterday when I was this tall. I remember me and my brothers had our arms around one another and we said we will be brothers forever. We'll be best friends forever. And we were probably 6 and 7 years old. And now I've got a boy that's in college. I've got a boy that's graduating. Where in the world did that time go? And brother and sister, that's the way it'll be. Let's redeem the time that we have. That we can live a life of impact down those ages. How many lives could have I touched if I'd have been more sincere? How more people could I have left more edified if I'd have been more sensitive to His Spirit? And we can't do anything unless the Lord does it. But what we can do is be submissive and yielding to His Spirit, to when God unctions our heart to speak to somebody. How many times did the Lord lay it on our heart to say something to somebody or pray for somebody and we didn't do it? We overran it and we didn't do it. And then later on, He's, God, forgive me. Lord, help us to redeem the time. The next time Lord tells me to speak to somebody, help me be instant and I'll just start speaking to that person. Mm-hmm. Help me to walk with that grace in my heart that I can give somebody a reason of hope. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm gonna read one quote here, and we'll try to keep you relate tonight at all. Brother Brim says, here some time ago, I was out west and I was standing in a man's house that invited me out for dinner. He said, Brother Brenham, I see you admiring the sculpture, the painting, or not a painting, but it was a kind of a carved out wood, a plaque like over the fireplace. I said, yes, sir, I am. And it was an old ox cart or covered wagon with oxen, a man in front, a little boy sitting on the seat with his mother, and they were traveling. And he said, that was my father and mother, and little boy on the seat was myself. He said, we come here in this ox cart. He said, but since then, we have so prospered. He said, I want you to step out here in the yard. He said, I forget how many thousands of acres that he owned out there of a ranch. He said, I bought that in my young days. And he said, then after that, the adjoining ranch to the west, I own. The adjoining ranch to the south, I own. Said, you see the smoke over there? Yes, sir. Said, that's a city. I forget how much property he owned there. He said, I'm the president in that bank there, telling me what all he had. I listened for a little while and I said, I would like to ask you one question, sir. You have pointed to the east and to the west, showing the ranches and to the city. I would like to have you to look up that way. See, and tell me how much you own up there. That's the main thing. Because someday you're going to leave every bit of this down here. And then where do you go from there? That's the main thing. This is a short stay here, but that's an eternal stay there. So I think we ought to consider where we are going for eternity. If we can so supply and fix our families and so forth here on earth with homes, houses, and comfort, education, that's the things we should do. But one of the main things we should do, we leave undone. Till we get to the end of the road and drown ourselves in an eternity knowing nothing about God, about His plan of salvation and redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. It's pitiful that we do it, but we do. And that was the end time scene in 62. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the road, let's focus on what we have up there. Because that's all that's going to matter. Rapture morning, that's the only thing we're going to be thinking. If you don't mind, let's just all stand and just want to just go to the Lord in prayer. And just ask Brother Tony to prepare to come forward when he's ready. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, and what I know was a kind of a quiet service, and I just pray that your people got something from it, Lord. Lord, that we could redeem the time, Lord, and put our energy focusing on not things that rust and decay on this earth, but in eternal things, Lord, in your word, Lord. I ask you, Lord God, to help us redeem the time. Lord, help us to take moments to hug each other's neck, Lord, and Lord, to tell each other how much we appreciate one another. Lord, there's so many times somebody will sing a special so well, and we'll have an intention to tell them how good and how much it blessed us, and we just forget. So many times somebody may look nice, and you just want to say something nice to them, and we just forget. We just get so busy sometimes. Lord, forgive us for it. Help us to slow down, Lord, and focus on keeping our house, our area, a place of habitation for you. Lord, a place that you feel so welcome, Lord. We want our homes to feel welcome to brothers and sisters when they come. When people come to our house, Lord, that they will feel your spirit there, Lord. Lord, when they come into our vehicles, Lord, when they come into our office, Lord, whenever we're standing in line, there'll be an atmosphere around us that's a habitation of your spirit. I ask you to help us to do it. And we know the only way we can do that is to surrender to you. We love you, Lord. I ask you, walk the aisles. Lord, knock on hearts. Go to homes, Lord. Lord, that we could all individually strive to redeem the time, Lord. Lord, that we could listen to understand. Lord, when we seek the message, read your word, may we approach it with the intent that I want truth. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Ask Brother Tony to come.
Say amen. Yeah. I love the way the Lord works. You know, Brother Daniel was talking about me ministering and what his conversation was. And I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. It goes the other way too. But I will say this. The first thing is he talked about knowing the will of God for your life. And you sisters have it a little bit easier. If you're married, you know exactly what the will of God is for your life, because as you serve your husband, you're serving God.
Right.
It's not to say that God won't use you in some other things, but you know, you're definitely doing the will of the Lord when you honor your husband and you do the things that a good wife would do as a husband for her husband. So I was thinking, it's been on my mind for several days, but this morning I was thinking, you know, this very thing that Brother Daniel was talking about tonight, that, you know, when my days are done on this earth, I was thinking about Brother Jim, when my days are done on this earth, I want to have done something for the Lord. And it's been on my mind, my heart for several days so strongly, so deeply that, you know, we really need the leadership of the Lord in everything we do. Everything we do. And so I was thinking about that today, and even listened to a sermon on the way home from work, tonight. And Brother Van talking about this. It seems like whatever the Lord's speaking to, it comes from whatever sermon you listen to, whatever scripture you read, it's there. And Brother Van was talking about it. You know, you can be ever so sincere to serve the Lord in such sincerity and be wrong. Because you've got to do it the way the Lord has laid it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to come the road that He has had asked us, you know, and given to us to come. And so, you know, Moses, 40 years of training. Brother Ben talked about that today. I was listening to 40 years of training, and then God turned around and used 40 years to take out of him what he had learned in himself. And had to get all of that out of him so God could use him.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Not to say that it would take 40 years for us, but you know, the pattern there is. But we've got to come to the place where God gets all of the things that we relied on in the past, all the things that the world tried to put into us, get all that out of us, so that then he can begin to use us. Yeah. And so we want to include the Lord in everything that we do, and we want to do everything we do as unto the Lord. Scripture tells us, don't do it as unto man, you're doing it unto the Lord. Amen. And so I was reading this morning, and I'm going to read this scripture to you in Isaiah. It's the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And it goes right along with this, because the Lord wants to instruct you in what's right. And if something's right, it works. If it don't work, it's not right. And we want to be effective. We want to impact people's lives. We want to make a difference with our family, with our coworkers, our friend, our neighbors, whatever. And that will only happen when we let the Lord lead us and guide us. And everything that works, if it's how to build motors and you're doing it right, that wisdom comes from the Lord.
Yep.
Right. You may sound strange, but so I was just reading this morning, and it's interesting. So Isaiah 28, verse 23 says, "Give ye ear and hear my voice, and hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their places?" Sure he does. "For his God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him." He teaches you how to do what's right.
That's right.
Right? "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is the cartwheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor breaking it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." Even how to plant your garden, anything, you know, there is an appropriate way to do it.
That's right.
And you don't do things that don't work, right? And so this applies to your whole entire life, but especially in being a Christian. Right? We want to seek from the Lord, and the Lord wants to give you. He's not going to give you something, like Brother Damon said, he's not going to give you something. He wants you to understand how to live an impactful life.
Yes.
To believers. Not to draw them to a bunch of nonsense, but to draw them to the very presence of the Lord in the very word that he's given us. I just thought these were really good things that Brother Daniel shared tonight. And I really love the way the Lord, you know, once the channel is there, just the thoughts that are there that the Holy Spirit is speaking is life to us. Yeah. We appreciate that. So I want to go to Psalm 510. See if I can figure out what key to play in. I mean, he's glad that the Lord has given us what he has. Amen. Amen.